This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
Y'all, we have something available to us that's living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, amen? This that we have available to us, it speaks to us, it leads us, y'all, it guides us, it shows us how to live, it guards us from temptation. This shows us the goodness of God. It shows us the character of God. It shows us the nature of God. It builds our faith and it sets us free. If we want to know God's plan for our life, there's not a better place to find it out than in this book right here. Can we all agree today? Sadly, many Christians never open this book. A study in 2025 actually showed that only 50% of Christians open this book weekly outside of church. Not daily, weekly. Which means the other 50% are not opening it at all unless they see the word in church as it's being preached. Some people just don't care. Some people feel like what's in here doesn't apply to their life. Some people may feel like they're just not good readers, so they don't bother. I want you to know this. If you're looking for an excuse not to read the Word of God, the enemy will give you plenty. See, he's going to work to keep you out of this book. How many of you know that? And he's going to do that. But I believe most of us here, we know that we can benefit from what's in here, right? We can benefit from what's in here. And many of you, you may be here and you may be like, well, Pastor Gene, I've just struggled with getting into the Word of God before. And if that's you, today I've got some really good news for you because we're going to help you. Today we're going to talk about studying the Word of God. Maybe in the past you've tried. Maybe you've said to yourself, I'm going to the very beginning. I'm going to go to the book of Genesis and I'm going to read all the way through. I love the book of Genesis. Whenever you look at the book of Genesis, you read about Adam and Eve, creation. You read about Noah, the flood. You read about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, it's so good. You can read about the life of Joseph. Love the life of Joseph. You ease on into Exodus and you're reading about Moses and about how he was called by God to lead God's people out of captivity, and you're like, all right, this is good. But then something happens. It's called Leviticus. That's what happens. And man, Leviticus hits you hard. And most of you guys are like, that's it, I'm tapping out. I'm out. Now see, if you're here today and you're not smiling, you've not read the book of Leviticus before. You know what I'm talking about if you've ever got there before. And so maybe you started at the beginning and then you hit Leviticus and you're like, I'm out. Maybe you've got another Bible reading plan and it's called the open and point version. And there's someone in my home, a little girl, whose name I'm not going to mention, who did this version the other night as we were doing our family Bible study. You open up the Bible and you just point to a scripture. I don't know. Let's say we're going to go to Matthew, and that's where our finger ends up. Matthew 27:5, right? And so we read this, and it says, so Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. And you're like, Lord, what are you trying to speak to me? But then you think to yourself, but let's check out the next verse that I point to see what the Lord says. And so you flip, and you just point, and then it ends up at Luke 10:37. It says, and Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Whoa, I don't think God's in that now, is he? That's a method, the open and point method, but I'd like to mention it's a terrible method to reading the Word of God, correct? That's not the way you want to go about doing it. So today we're calling our teaching Bible study. Today and next Sunday, I really want to encourage you to be here if you've ever had trouble studying the Word of God in the past, because we want to help you easing into the Word of God if you've not been into the Word of God. I'm not a professional whenever it comes to this topic. I will say this, I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. It's very common whenever I'm teaching the Word of God. I mean, I get super emotional about it because it's just so real and it's for our benefit, amen? It does so much for us. And so I really want to encourage you to be here for these two teachings just today and then next week especially, because I think it's seriously going to benefit you spiritually whenever it comes to your growth. What we're going to do in the series is we're actually going to look at the book of Philemon. Philemon's a very short book of the Bible in the New Testament. And so we've got some things that we're going to be looking at. We're going to apply that to the book of Philemon. And so again, be here for that if you can. Amen? I got to tell you before we hop into it, we have a lot of notes today. And as I told our first service, it could be that you just want to take pictures of the screen, because if you're trying to write it all, there's a really good chance you're not going to be able to keep up with us today. As we jump into things, there's five things that we all need to do whenever it comes to studying the Bible. Number one is this, is we need to choose a translation we can understand. We need to choose a time, a place, and have a plan to study. We need to understand the context. We need to read slowly and ask questions. And then we need to pray for God to speak to us so that we can apply what he shows us. Now, you're going to see today this is extremely practical, okay? Just really want to break down some ways that we can all study the word better. So this is extremely practical, and I want to go ahead and give you a disclaimer. Some of you in here, you may be like, Pastor Gene, I don't know if that's the best way for us to study the word of God. There's only about 5 million different ways to study the word of God, and this is just what I find has worked for me, and so I'm just sharing that with you. Here's the good news. My opinion, your opinion, if we're off just a little bit, it's not a heaven or hell thing, right? This is just me sharing with you what works for me. And so, you guys ready to get into it?
Yes.
All right, let's go to Philemon 1, and we're going to start in verse 7 today. And it says this, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient." Can somebody say amen? How many of y'all really soaked up every word of that? As I mentioned just a moment ago, it's very important, our first thing today, that we have a translation that we understand. Can somebody say amen today? It's very important. Now, that we just read a second ago was the King James Version. And for some of you, you were thinking, Pastor Gene, that was a lot right there. I didn't understand everything that we were reading. And that's why we want to make sure that we have a translation we understand. That's the King James Version. Maybe you're wondering, why in the world would there be multiple translations of the Word of God? Well, yeah, let's talk about that just for a minute. Let me educate you. First of all, the Bible was written in three different languages: Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, okay? And so over the years, you've had Bible scholars that have taken the original manuscripts and they have tried to translate them into vernacular that we can understand, while at the same time trying to keep the point the same.
Right.
Y'all get it? And so they're trying to make it to where we can read it a little bit easier and that the language works for today. The King James Version was first published in 1611, so it's been over 400 years. It's known as the gold standard. I got nothing but love for the King James Version. It's beautiful, it's a historic translation, and for the English-speaking world for centuries, this has been the go-to Bible, right? Whenever it comes to accuracy, it's accurate, of course. And so we love the King James Bible, but I gotta be honest with you, it's hard for a lot of people to read. Can we get real? Was that hard just a minute ago for y'all to really kind of digest, right? It can be hard for a lot of us to read. And again, I have nothing but love for it, but I've got a question for you. Has the English language changed much in the last 415 years?
Yes.
Slightly? It's changed in the last 24 hours.
Yes.
Listen, my kids come home saying words, and I'm like, what in the world does that even mean? And they look at me like I'm an idiot because I don't know what this word means. And then I use that word 2 weeks later, and they look at me once again like I'm an idiot. And they're like, Dad, nobody uses that word anymore. But the English language has changed a lot. We can agree, right? It's changed a lot. And so with that said, it's been good that there have been translations that are easier for us to read. So let's go back to verse 7. And again, we want to make sure that the translations that we read, that whenever they're translated, that they go back to the original intent of the text, right? Verse 7 again, we're in the King James. "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." And so some of you, there's a word up there that's sticking out to you. Some of you are like, bowels. Come on, anybody? Some of y'all are thinking, Pastor Gene, I don't like the sound of that. The rest of you are thinking, Pastor Gene, I don't like the potential smell of that either. It's just weird. Okay, it's just weird, right? I don't understand what Paul is trying to write right here. Well, let me explain it to you, okay? In 1611, whenever the KJV was published, bowels referred to the deep seat of emotion in a person, okay? But if you were to read that without knowing the context, you don't know what he's saying there, right? And so today people would say that they feel emotions in their heart. And so a modern translation would take that original word talking about the bowels there and it would translate it to the heart. So it's like, oh, okay, we get it. We get what he's trying to say there. And it's hopefully close to the original intent. Does that make sense, everybody? That's what a more modern translation would do. Now, if you're using paper Bible, paper Bibles are awesome. This is mine that I've had for a long time. This is my baby right here. This is a New King James Version. Or if you're using the Bible app, the great news is you can have a lot of different options for translations in paper Bibles and the Bible app on your phone. YouVersion makes the Bible app that literally millions and millions and millions of people have downloaded. It's a great resource. Those folks have done a great job with it. Just so you know, with that Bible app, you can always have the Word of God on you. I like that, right? I still love my paper Bible. But with the YouVersion Bible app, you can highlight, you can put notes, you can like compare and contrast translations. So that's pretty handy. Can we all agree? You can use it on an iPhone or an iPad, but it has a lot of different translations. But maybe you're saying, Pastor Gene, what translation is right for me? Here's four, for instance, that I personally like. There's the NLT and the NIV. The NLT and the NIV are going to be on the side of more current with the language, but still accurate, okay? They're going to be easier for y'all to read, for me to read. I got to say, whenever you see scripture on this screen from me on a normal Sunday, 80% of it comes from either the NLT or the NIV, mostly the NLT, just because it reads easier, and so I think that it'll be easier for y'all to read along with me, right? Now, whenever you look at those two translations, again, they're more modern, but still accurate. And so let's look at the NLT version of verse 7, where we were just reading, you know, in the KJV. Let's kind of compare the two. In the NLT, verse 7, your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. This is why I'm boldly asking a favor of you. I could demand it in the name of Christ because it's the right thing for you to do. And Paul goes on, and we'll talk about this in a minute. But let me ask you this. Did that read a lot easier than what we read 3 or 4 minutes ago?
Yes.
Can we get real? It did, didn't it? All of a sudden, you're like, oh, yeah, I get this. I get what he's trying to say here. So the NIV, NLT, they're pretty easy to understand. Let's look at the other two translations there, the ESV and the New King James Version. I like these. Like I said, this is the New King James Version, the NKJV. The thing is, with these, they're definitely going to be a little more accurate. They're not going to read quite as smooth as the NIV or the NLT, but it's definitely easier to read than the King James Version, okay? So it's between like the King James Version and the NLT, you would find the ESV and the New King James Version. They're both very similar. I will say this, I often am comparing the NLT and the NIV that I use on Sundays on the screen. I'm often comparing it to the New King James Version because I want to make sure that what we're reading, like the original intent is not veered away from. Does that make sense? So I go back to the New King James Version. If you've been around Church Alive any amount of time, you know that I love to teach on the person of the Holy Spirit. Every 2 to 3 years, I have a 6-week series that I do on it. All of that scripture is in KJV because I want to make sure that what we're reading, something I'm so passionate about in scripture, that it's that translation and not a more modern translation. Does that make sense? And so I'm constantly comparing scripture to make sure that we're not veering off the road of the original intent. But I like these, and these are some good options for you right here. But choose one that you can understand. Otherwise, reading the word is going to be a struggle. It's going to be a struggle for you. So the first thing is, choose a translation you understand. The second thing is, choose a time, choose a place, and have a plan to study. Have a plan to study. Consistency is huge in anything you do in life if you want to get better at it. Can somebody agree today? If you want to get healthier, it's going to take consistency in eating right and exercising. If you want to get more efficient at work or better at something, it's going to take consistency in practicing and doing it more often, correct? Well, whenever it comes to reading the Word of God, if you want to get better at it, you need consistency. We need to be consistent with it. If you don't have consistency, there's a real good chance that you're going to be super hit or miss, or you may just quit after a little while. In my opinion, mornings are ideal for us to get into the Word of God. Because for some of us, if we've got kiddos, maybe they're still in the bed, but we can go ahead and we can get in the Word of God. And one reason I think it's really important for us to get into the Word in the mornings is what we digest, what we're receiving, what the Lord is speaking to us will overflow into the rest of the day. You know, for instance, if you are reading the Word at 6 or 7 o'clock and you go into work first thing and something happens, hopefully you're not completely losing your cool instantly after you've been in the Word of God. Does that make sense? I believe that whenever we spend time in the Word of God and in the morning, it's going to help the decisions that we make. I think that it's going to help how we treat people throughout the day as well. But I also realize that the mornings may not work for everybody. I get it. So even if it's after you put the kids down at night, the key is this: get in the Word of God and have a regular time. You need to have a regular place as well that you can get in the Word of God. Maybe it's on the sofa, your favorite chair. Maybe it's at the kitchen table with a cup of coffee, but you need to have a regular time and a regular place. Be consistent with it so that you just know that that's just part of your day. Some people are going to prefer a paper Bible, again, for making notes. Some are going to prefer a phone app or on their iPad as well. Some of you, you may be here and you say, Pastor Gene, truth is, I'm not a good reader. You just may be like, I struggle with reading. I've got some really good news for you. That YouVersion Bible app that we talked about, which works on an iPhone, works on an Android, works whatever, on a smartphone, it will read the Word of God to you. Yes. So I mentioned, for instance, the NLT version about how it reads real smoothly, right? You can go to the NLT version and you can hit play. How great is that, right? And so maybe you spend a lot of time on the road. This is a way that you can hear the Word of God. So hear me today. You can get in the Word of God if you really want to. If you really want to, you can get into the Word of God. And so I just want to mention that. Now, I'm talking about you need some kind of plan. You need some kind of plan with this second point. You need a place, you need a time, you need a plan. Here's what you don't need to do. Let's just say you say today, I'm going to get in the Word starting tomorrow. In the morning, you don't need to wake up and be like, now, what are we going to do here? You need a plan. Somebody say a plan, right? You need a plan. Now, I want to go ahead and just say there are tons of plans. And by the way, this app that I keep mentioning, there's thousands and thousands of plans literally on that app that you can get into. But some people say, okay, I'm going to read the Bible in a year. If you've not been in the Word of God, I want to go ahead and tell you that is very aggressive. That is very aggressive. To read the Bible in a year and to really be able to comprehend, you know, everything that you're reading, you need a good 25 minutes a day, and that's if you're a good reader. Okay, so it's a pretty big thing to jump on. If you're just going to say, well, I'm just going to start tomorrow reading the Bible in a year, may not want to. But for instance, if you've not read the Bible much, what I would say is that, for instance, on the app, there are plans that you can look at and that you can go through that sometimes they're a few days, sometimes they're a month, sometimes they're a week. But there are some really good options for you getting into the Word of God, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Maybe you're a person that wants to get a devotional book, which is going to come with some scripture that you need to look up. Here's the key. Know what you're going to do. Have a plan day after day so that you stay in the Word. We got it? Have a plan. Now, I think a lot of times we tend to focus on quantity, but what I want us to hear today is this. I think we need to focus on quality. Amen. Getting in the Word and really reading the Word and hearing what the Lord's trying to tell us. Yes. Now, that's not just an excuse for you to say, I'm going to read one verse a day. We can do better than that, right? Yeah. We can do better than that. We can probably read a chapter a day. And so I want to encourage you, Plan to spend a little bit of time, but don't just fly through it just to say you've done it, to check it off. No, don't we want to receive something from the Lord while we're reading, right? So we need to take our time as we read the Word of God. So we're going to choose a time, a place. We're going to have a plan to study. Number three is this, is we're going to understand the context. We're going to understand the context. How many of you know that context matters in anything? And it definitely matters whenever you're reading Scripture as well. We also need to understand that the Bible, hear me, it's not a single book. The Bible is actually a library. What do I mean by that? Well, it's a collection of 66 books. It was written in three different languages, across three different continents, over a 1,500-year period, by 40 different authors. That's the Word of God that we read. Whenever we look at those authors, listen, there was a tax collector in there, there were philosophers in there, there was a doctor in there were farmers in there, fishermen in there, kings, written by all kinds of different people from all different backgrounds. Something else I want you to get here is the Bible is a collection of poems, prophecies, letters, laws, histories, and biographies written by people and inspired by God. You see that, right? Telling one unified story that shows us our need for Jesus and teaches us to become like Him. That's what this word does. It teaches us to become like Him. So whenever we understand what the Bible is, and then we're going to want to understand the context of what we're reading. Whenever we're reading, there's a few questions we probably want to ask. And these are simple questions, like, for instance, who wrote what we're reading? Secondly, to whom was it written? And then the third thing is, what's the purpose of what we're reading? And so let's go through Philemon together today as well as next week, and let's see if we can pick up real quick on the context here at the beginning of Philemon. And I've got us in the NIV version as we're going through Philemon. So verse 1 says this, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Now, if we wanted a little bit more context, we could get some extra resources. Like maybe you have a study Bible that has different commentary and such in it. This is a Bible that I got last year that I have absolutely fallen in love with. Throughout it is just, in fact, I've not even written in this baby yet. It's like the Bible I'm trying to keep clean, but I know I'm going to eventually start writing in it because it has such good, this is the one that's just been shredded over the years. But all that to say, it has some really good commentary in here from pastors that I'm aware of their ministries. In addition to that, it gives like this great intro to every different book in the Bible, so it kind of sets up the context for you, right? So if you wanted to know more context, you could look at some resources like a Bible like this, a study Bible. You could do a study on Philemon, like for instance, in the Bible app, and they have multiple, I think about 10 of them, roughly I saw the other day. But with any of these resources, if you're looking at the book of Philemon, what you're going to find is this, that Philemon was written by the Apostle Paul while he was in a Roman prison, and it was written to a wealthy man by the name of Philemon. Philemon led a church in his home. You're going to see that it was written about a guy by the name of Onesimus. And Onesimus was a runaway slave who had stolen from Philemon. What happens is Onesimus met Paul in Rome, and Paul led him to Christ. And we see that Paul's purpose, okay, so the purpose of this was to encourage Philemon to forgive Onesimus and accept him back, hear me, not as a slave who ran away, but as a brother in Christ. That's the purpose of the book of Philemon. And again, it's short. It's only 20-something verses. So some of you just saw these points that we had on the screen, and you're like, okay, that's simple enough. I get it. The guy ran away. Paul's like, accept him back. He's a Christian now. So you're thinking, okay, I get the point. Well, there's actually a little bit more to it if you wanted to dig a little bit more. There's a little more context that you might want to find out. You'd find out that this was actually a really big request by Paul. Why is that? Well, in the Roman Empire at this time, y'all, there were 10 to 15 million slaves. That's a lot of people, right? 10 to 15 million slaves. I want to stop right here and just say slavery is wrong. It's never been right. You can never justify it. I also want to say slavery has not just started in the last 500 years. It goes this far back and further. Can I go ahead and just tell you, right? So whenever you look at this situation and what was happening at this period of time, if someone had a slave who ran away because there were so many slaves, if they ever caught the slave and brought them back, then they would really want to make sure that they dealt with that slave so that there would not be a rebellion with all the others. Because again, we're talking about 15 million of them in this area of the Roman Empire, right? So one thing that they would do whenever one ran away is they would actually brand an F on their forehead, which stood for the word fugitivus, which is where we get our word fugitive from, fugitive or runaway. So they would brand them. Additionally, they would probably beat them, and they actually could kill them as well because they belonged to them. And again, none of this could be justified. We can agree, right? But I want to just say this. If you really think about it, this period of time, these folks were a little barbaric. I don't know any other way to say it. Because let's just go back in the New Testament. Whenever Paul is talking, for instance, like in Romans 8:18, a verse that I love, where he's telling the church, he's saying, listen, for the sufferings that we're dealing with, they can't compare to the glory that we're going to experience. He was talking about how the church was seriously being persecuted. For instance, Christians were being fed to lions for entertainment. Entertainment! Nero would burn Christians on poles in the streets to make them street lights as a way of sending a signal. Can you agree? This was a different group of people. I mean, they saw this kind of stuff as enjoyable. And so this was a different time period. And so Paul's making a big ask here. He's saying, listen, Philemon, I know Onesimus escaped. And I know he's technically yours to deal with. But here's what I'm asking you. I'm asking that you accept him back, but not as someone who escaped and so you're accepting him back as a runaway slave. No, I'm asking you to accept him back as a brother in Christ. Not as a runaway slave, but a brother in Christ. Let's look at verse 3. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. In the past, I would read this and I would think to myself, is Paul just trying to butter up Philemon here? Is he trying to say all these kind things about him? Like, oh, Philemon, you're just so great. Oh, Philemon, I just smile whenever I think of you. I don't know if that's it or not, because Paul would have been a spiritual father to Philemon, and I think he was honestly just getting real with him. I think about some spiritual sons in my life, and sometimes I just call them, and I'm just like, you know, I'm really proud of you, because I see what you're doing and how you're leading your family well. And I think that's ultimately what Paul was doing. Philemon, you're doing a good job. Philemon, you're a blessing to believers. Philemon, you've got that house church going on, and I'm really, 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 really proud of you, Philemon. I think that's what Paul was doing here. Verse 7, your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. I think, again, Paul is just really telling them, this is how I feel about you. Philemon, you're doing a great work, and I'm super proud of you. So, again, we want to understand the context. That's number 3. Number 4 is we want to read slowly. Come on, somebody say slowly. We want to read slowly and ask questions. Now, again, I say read slowly because if we're just flying through it, and if we're not getting us on the inside, getting it on the inside of us, really, is it benefiting us, right? We want to read slowly so that we're able to really process it and get it down in us. That's why I mentioned a one-year Bible plan is pretty strong if you've not been in the Word much. You get into that one-year Bible plan, you're going to probably find that you're just trying to rush through it just to say you did it. But we want to read slowly, and then we want to ask some questions. And here's a couple of questions that we probably should ask. What does this say about God? What does it say about his character? What does it say about his nature, about his goodness? Another question could be, what's this saying to me? As I read this, what is this saying to me? So number four, we want to read slowly and ask questions. Number five, we want to pray for God to speak to us and apply what he shows us. We want to ask for God to speak to us, and then let's apply what he shows us. So can we just do that right now? Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that this word changes us. Lord, we thank you that this word makes us more like your son, Jesus. And so, Father, as we continue reading today, just reveal to us what you have for us. God, reveal to us how we can apply this to our lives. But Lord, not just for us, so that we can make a difference in somebody else's life. In Jesus' name. Come on, if you agree, can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's go to verse 8 real quick. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It's no other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. So Paul, being again kind of the spiritual father to Philemon, he's saying, listen, I could tell you this is what you got to do. Just so you know, spiritual fathers, we need to allow them to speak into our lives. Amen. Spiritual parents. He's saying, I could just tell you this is what you need to do, but I really just want to ask you in love, because this is really the right thing that you need to do, Philemon. Your runaway slave, he's now a son in the faith to me. He's a son to me. Philemon, you're a son to me. Philemon, he's your brother in Christ, is what Paul is trying to show him here. And y'all, this is a big ask, because again, Philemon has Onesimus as a slave. Onesimus steals from him and then runs away. Philemon could respond the way other slave owners would respond, but Paul's saying, I'm asking you to do it differently. I'm asking for you to forget his past, Philemon, and I'm asking for you to treat him, again, like a brother in Christ. He wants him to see him that way. Now, something really cool, if you research, and it's so great how just deep you can dig into the word, just the more you research. One thing that you'll find a lot of times in the Bible is that names of people mean something significant. Whenever you look up the name Onesimus, you'll see that it means profitable or useful. Profitable or useful. You see that, right? And so let's look at verse 11, what Paul says to Philemon. He says, Philemon, formerly Onesimus was useless to you, but now he has become useful to both you and to me. Let's look at this. Formerly Onesimus, formerly he was useless. He was a runaway slave, useless to you. But now he's useful to you and he's useful to me. Let's think about these words right here, because Paul is using this play on words. Y'all, you can't have a but now unless you have a formerly. Come on, somebody. You can't have a but now unless you've already had a formerly. And so if you're reading this word, just this scripture right here, and you're asking yourself, okay, what's the nature of God? What's God trying to say to me? This is what I'm thinking whenever I'm reading this scripture. I'm thinking, you know what? My life was formerly one thing. It was formerly one thing. But now that God has me, I've been made useful. I've been made profitable because of his grace and because of his mercy. I've been made useful or profitable. Onesimus, he was a slave, but because of the work inside of him, what happened on the inside of him, he was useless to Philemon as a runaway slave, but now he's, hear me, useful and profitable to the kingdom of God because of what's happened on the inside of him. And can I just tell every one of you today, you're useful and you're profitable to the kingdom of God because of what's happened to you. Maybe you think about your life in the past and you're like, I was living in not doing anything to help anybody. I was just living for myself. But now, because of what he's done on the inside of you, you see, that changes. What's your story? What's your story? I mean, what did you come out of before? What happened to you? How was your life? But now, what does it look like? Maybe you were in a place of addiction. And you were hooked on stuff, substances, whatever it could be. But then he met you. You were over here, you were useless, you weren't benefiting anyone. It was all about you. And you were ultimately just living a life that was not good, as an example. But then you met Jesus. But now, you're useful. And even the thing that you struggled with in the past, the Lord wants to use that thing to make you profitable, to make you useful for the kingdom of God. Come on, somebody. I don't know what your story is. I don't know if it's abuse. I don't know if it's addiction. I don't know if you were just wild. Maybe you just say, Pastor Gene, I just didn't know the Lord. None of my family knew the Lord. We don't have any craziness that necessarily went on. You weren't accomplishing much for anybody then, but then you came to know Jesus. And now it's different. He wants to use you. Amen. He wants to use you today. So I've got some homework for you this week. Are y'all good with some homework? Very simple. We're going to look at steps 1 and 2 this week. And I'd love for you, if you've not been in the Word of God, to apply these steps. Maybe you've got a Bible reading plan. Maybe you're like, hey, this is something that I'm good with. If not, if you've thought to yourself, I could do a little better job of getting in the Word of God, I want to encourage you to choose a translation that you can understand. One that you can understand. Real quick, if you want to go buy a paper Bible of one that you can understand, you can kind of do a test drive by getting the Bible app and looking at all the different translations. And then you can buy a paper Bible version of that one. Of course, there's also the Bible app. That's a good option as well. Then I want you to set your time and your place that you're going to read your word. Is it in the mornings? Maybe with your schedule. Maybe you're one of these that you just need to listen to the word of God. But figure out that time, figure out that place, and then have a plan. You know, you don't just open your Bible tomorrow morning and be like, what am I going to do here? Have a plan. Maybe you're wondering, what recommendations do you have? If you've not been in your Bible much, here's what I would recommend. Start in the book of John. The Gospel of John. You can read all about just how incredible our Savior is, how much he loves us. And actually, we've got a resource for you. We're going to throw it on the screen. There it is right there. If you've used the Bible app in the past, if you'll hit that QR code, we're going to keep it up for a minute. It will make Church Live your home church on the Bible app. That's what it will do. It'll make Church Live your home church. If you don't have your phone on you, you can actually in the Bible app look up Church Live. Just based on your location, you'll see it pop up and you can select that. But what we're going to do is we're going to roll out a Bible reading plan every so often. I think this is a good one right here, and let me tell you about it. The Bible Project does a really good job of kind of giving you the context. It's really neat. Your kids would probably love it too, because it's as if they're drawing out the situation while they're setting up the book before you start reading it. And so they're giving you a lot of background on it. But with this plan, it's 25 days, and it's one chapter a day through the Gospel of John. But John also wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, right? And so you're going to keep cruising right through John, and then you're going to read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. So you technically, in 25 days, at one chapter a day, will knock out 4 books in the New Testament. But all that to say, I think this would be a good reading plan for y'all just to kind of ease into. So if you connect to Church Live, you're going to see that we have recommended that plan, and all you got to do is just tap on it and just say, begin that reading plan. There you go. It's going to be right in front of you every day. But I think that could be beneficial to all of you.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amoson. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.